I greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It is good to be in the Lord's house and to allow His word to speak to us. I would like to also take this opportunity to welcome everyone, all those that always attend here regularly. It's so good to see you, but also those that are visiting. May God speak to each one of us as we look into His word. As we read that without the Lord's ear or the Lord's eye or helping us in His mercies, as we read in Daniel, we are very desolate. But today we trust that the Holy Spirit will again be poured out and fill each one of us and His servant, that God will be able to speak to us and that we can go home and that we will experience what God's word says. And I want to read a few verses that I want to start out with, that after Jesus was baptized and in Matthew chapter 4, actually the previous verse in chapter 3, it says, "And lo, a voice of heaven saying, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased," after he was baptized. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward ahungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus," in verse 4 says, "but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Today, we want to look into God's word, and particularly the words that Jesus spoke. Man shall not live by bread alone. We are so prone to look after the natural for the body, but so careless sometimes to look after our spiritual being. We are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And today is my prayer that God will reveal in a new and a living way that how much the Word of God can help us and what the Word of God does to us personally. And so I have chosen again to continue with the message that Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount that has been such a blessing to me. Seems like every time I study, He teaches me new things. And I just want to share what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me through His word, and it's my prayer that as the word is read, that God will allow the word to speak to you. Because it becomes such, the word of God is alive, and it becomes such a blessing when you recognize that God has spoken to you, and He's admonished you, He's encouraged you, and He has changed your life. So before I read Matthew 7 from verse 24 to the end, I would just ask that you bow with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, come to you together with this congregation, the church family, visitors, guests. Lord, I pray that we will humble ourselves before an almighty God, an all-knowing and all-seeing God, recognizing that we are but dust, but we know that you have created us to have fellowship with you, and that fellowship was broken when Adam and Eve sinned, and you provided a way that we could have fellowship again, that could be again, we could be reunited, and so we are here today because of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that as we look into the words that Jesus spoke, that they will be meaningful and a blessing to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 7, 24 to the end. Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built a house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. May God bless the reading of his word. I find it a real encouragement when I turn to God's word, and his word admonishes and it encourages us for life today. We know that the word of God speaks about the past. It speaks about when God created everything in the beginning, God. And God's word has the final authority in our life. And it also speaks, God's word speaks about the future. And we can get caught up in one or the other. But I believe it is important that we also take the time as, what is God speaking to me today? What is Jesus teaching us today for today's living, for today's life? Here we have the words in this message. He starts off in verse 24, therefore. He is talking about the message that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, and it touches on every area of our life. He says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon the rock. What Jesus has taught before, the previous verses, the whole sermon that he preached, he is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's speaking to us today. The world is full of professing Christians. Now you might say, well, you're saying that from your own words. We have the world, I believe, according to God's word, is full of Christians that are confessing him, saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? I say it on the authority of God's word. When I think of many, I'm reminded in verse 26, it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, hearing. And then we have in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, saying. And then we have in verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And verse 13, enter in ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 22, many will say unto me. According to the word of God, we have many, many people in the world, in the church, saying, Lord, Lord. And I will expound on that a little later yet. Their devotion is outward. They have the words, saying and hearing, formality and rituals. And that is an amazing place of deception to be. When we have all the words we hear, and it is not inward, when we don't do according to the word of God. There are few that are truly converted according to God's word. Few there be that find the narrow gate. Few are there that are fully consecrated to do his will. But those few are called the children of God and joint heirs with Christ. When we call him Lord, When we say, Lord, Lord, we must recognize Jesus. And this is what we need to learn today. We must recognize Jesus as the final authority of our life. We surrender our will, and we dedicate it completely to his divine will. In Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. It involves a Christian life, involves being obedient. Therefore, so whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. I will show you what he is like. We need to be faithful to God for the glory of God by a living faith that loves the Lord. Jesus' words in Mark 13, verse 31 says, heaven and earth shall pass away. All these things that we see, touch, and feel will pass away. But my words shall not pass away. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My words shall not pass away. Hearing his word, then doing his word. In John 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and doeth them, I will shew you what he is like. It is telling me that we must have a great regard for God's word. I feel we take God's word. We have had it so richly. We're too casual about God's word. When God's word says something, when it speaks to us, that's what it is. It has the final authority. In John 14 and 24, Jesus says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. It's not Jesus' words, the Father that sent him. In John 12, 48, Jesus said, he that receiveth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. My words shall not pass away. We know that the word of God is truth. It is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will lead us here today, that we will be able to understand what God, Jesus, is saying in verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. The storm came, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, some of you may say, well, you're preaching works. I'm teaching you what God's word says. He that hears and does. And I believe there's a test for us today. Let's turn to James chapter 1. We see Jesus' words. Let's see what James has to say. In James chapter 1, verse 21 to 26. James 1, 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, or unnecessary of all naughtiness, and receiving with meekness. Again, it goes back to the Beatitudes, the meek, talking about the meek, and meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. It's the word of God. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, brothers and sisters, all those that are listening, there is such a thing as deceiving yourself. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And we've all done that. We've all gone to the mirror and looked who we were and what we looked like. In verse 24, it says, for he beholdeth himself, and he goes away, and straightway, or very soon, he forgets what manner of man he was. Today, we want to look at God's word, and may God's word be a mirror to us. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. In James 2, verse 17 to 26, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou not faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that works, by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. True faith obeys God, and it works itself, or it shows itself, in daily life and works. And I believe there are people today, according to Scripture, that profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1, verse 16. In Titus 1, verse 16, it says, I'll start from verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. In verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate, or void of judgment. Deceiving yourself. Today we want to look in the mirror of God's word. Where do we stand? Rahab, the life of Rahab, the background of her is found in Joshua 2, chapter 2 and chapter 6. And when Joshua sent spies to the city of Jericho to see the land, they met Rahab, a harlot, who had protected them and affirmed that she believed in what God had said, the word, and what God was doing. It is an example for us of that saving faith. We can read of her in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, hearing and doing. I feel it is very important to point out that just works, like Lord, Lord, saying the right things, in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then in verse 23, and then Jesus says, I. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many, verse 13, many are on the broad road. Many will say to me in that day, deception. They thought they were on the right road, saying, Lord, Lord. He who ever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man that built his house on the rock, and it will stand in the storms of life. As our Lord taught that none who are only professing Christians and not true followers could enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just professing is not enough. He knew, Jesus knew very well when he preached this sermon. That the large majority of the people would miss the message. Or the meaning of the message. And they would lose the blessing. It's my prayer that we receive the blessing of God's word. And that's why Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon the rock. And that's how he is. If you hear the word, we do the word, we're building our life on the rock. We have seen in this portion of Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, the picture of two roads. The narrow gate, the wide gate. We have seen two trees. One brought forth good fruit, one brought forth corrupt fruit. And now Jesus is concluding his message by telling us about two builders and their houses. Two ways, two trees, and two builders. The two ways, they illustrate the beginning of the life of faith. Enter into the straight gate. The time where we crucify ourselves, we leave everything behind, we say no to the world, we die to self, we enter into that narrow gate because the world cannot pass through. All those things that we want to take along. It illustrates the beginning of our faith. The two trees, they speak of or illustrate the results of the life of living in faith, the fruit. And we know that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But once we've entered that gate, when we abide in Jesus, we are the branches, is what Scripture says, and the fruit produces when we draw from Jesus. And you know, by their fruits ye shall know them, what Jesus said. Are we drawing from Christ? The two houses illustrate the end of the life of faith. When God will judge everything, will our house stand? I believe we need to ask ourselves that question. Will our house stand? And brothers and sisters, the test is not what we think of ourselves, or what others think of us. Today it is, what does God's word say? How can we prepare for the test of the storm or the judgment? By obedience to God's will, doing God's will. The test is not words, like saying, Lord, Lord, and not obeying his commandments. When a person is born again, he has the Spirit of God living within him. That's what it means, being born again. We have a new nature. We have, the old man is still there, but we have a new nature, the Spirit of God. Romans 8, verse 9, it says, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we know the Spirit of God enables us to know and to do the Father's will. It is not a burden. When we are born again, it is not a burden. Romans 5, verse 5 says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What a blessing to be able to experience the love of God. And he sheds in our heart, shares with us the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And that motivates us to obey God and to serve him and to serve others according to his word. Words are never enough. Just to study, to know the word of God, we must live the word of God. It must be demonstrated by works. I'm just going to read verse 22 and 23 again. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And some might say, wasn't I at church faithfully? Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It must be a heart thing. It's not our outward works. And then will I profess unto them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. Workers of iniquity, against God. Judas, he will have done many of these activities that looked like he was a servant of God. Yet he was not a true believer. Satan, according to Scripture, does lying wonders. We can read about that in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 to 17. According to Jesus and James, the verses that we read, we are to hear God's word and we are to do them. We cannot stop at just hearing. So today you have come to the Lord's house. It is my prayer that we don't just go home and it hasn't affected us. His words, our hearing, must result in doing. And that's what it means to build on the rock. A firm foundation. When we think of the rock, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, referring to Jesus Christ. Paul, when you study the life of Paul, he went on many missionary journeys. He established many churches, local churches, the church at Corinth, and he established it on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Jesus, or people, came to Christ. They repented of their life. They came to Christ. And that was the only foundation for the church, Jesus Christ. And as a builder, I understand when we talk, when we read in Peter about Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. When you start a building, you always start at a corner. When you establish the corner, you have something to go off of. When Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, we have something to build on, which is the rock. But I want to say today, the parable of the foundation in this parable is obedience to God's word. And that obedience, that is evidence of true faith. As we read in James 1 and 2, read it again for yourself. These two men, Jesus said, I will liken them unto a wise man. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Hearing God's word is part of the foundation, but it must be obeyed. Those that do both. One, we know that they're like wise men building on the rock. Both men, we see in this story, they built a house. They may even have looked similar. But when the judgment came, when the storm came, one of the houses fell, and great was the fall of it. But the other one stood. They both went through the test. A false Christianity will last until the storms of life come. It comes in trials, and it is like we read in Matthew 13, I'm going to read a few verses out of Matthew 13. It is my prayer that the word of God will fall on good ground today. In Matthew 13, verse 4, it says, Jesus again says, and when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We must test our profession of faith. We must test it by God's word today. Are we a hearer and a doer? And it's not by popularity. When I think of popularity, I put it alongside of God's word. It is exactly the opposite. Verse 13. When we think of that broad road, it says, many there be that go in thereat. Popularity. And verse 22, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord. But in verse 14, it talks about few. Depending on God's word is not the assurance of salvation. We must hear it and we must live it out. When we abide in the vine, there must be fruit. There is many that are on the road to destruction and that have entered the broad road, or are on the broad road. But today the question is, have we entered the straight gate? Listening audience, church, today I ask that question because there's an eternity coming. There's a day that I will face God. There's a time when you will meet him. Jesus loves us so much that he wants us to have eternal life. And we are to live by his word. Have we entered the straight gate? That means we have to die to self. We need to walk that narrow way. Not everything in the world fits on that narrow way. that narrow way, we read, it leads to life. Having a foundation that will not fail us, hearing and doing God's word, the two ways tell us to examine the cost of salvation. Have we left all our every weight and sin that does so easily beset us? And are we running with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Is there godly fruit in our life? The two houses remind us that true faith is in Christ. And his word will stand. Not just in the storms of life, but in the final judgment. When Jesus continues in Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, he says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." Why? For he taught them as one having authority. They knew his word was truth. He had authority, and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. He spoke with authority. He didn't need a human teacher like the scribes and the Pharisees. The life that is built on a firm foundation, the rock, is the kind of life that is described in the complete Sermon on the Mount. I would encourage you, read from where Jesus starts his sermon in chapter 4, verse 17. He says that from that time Jesus began to preach and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The life that is built on that firm foundation, it is a kind of life that is built, has biblical view, the biblical view of self. We know that today in the world, the view of yourself is totally different than what God's word is. We must have a biblical view of self. What does the Bible say? We must have a biblical view of the world, not like the world sees the world. Jesus says, "We are the light of the world. We are not part of it." We must have a love for the Bible and for God's word, and we must not seek to change God's word or to water it down. We must accept it as it is written. The heart of that sermon, I'm going to read those verses again in Matthew 5, 19 and verse 20. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Where is your heart at? Jesus here is telling us of a life that is built on the rock, that has a biblical view of morality, being holy, not just trying to get away with everything that we can get away with. We are to be holy as he is holy. It is not just from the outside. It must be lived out from the internal. And the foundation, I want to just share, when I think of the God's word being the foundation, I want to share Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Acts Acts chapter 20, verse 30, or 32, sorry. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. I want to commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Jesus said, if your life is committed to obedience to my words, you're on the rock and your house will stand. I just want to compare in our text, verse 23, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Let's read what the future holds in Revelation 20, verse 11 to 14. Revelation 20, verse 11. And this is what Paul saw. He had a revelation. It was revealed to him, and he wrote it. And this is what is to happen in the future. And he said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. Today, God is still gracious. Today the invitation is, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that enter in. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life. Few there be that find it. Scripture tells us that we are to search him with our whole heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We want to thank you again for your word. We thank you that you give life to your word, that your word is alive and you teach us. Lord, today I know for myself I have failed. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, I thank you that you speak, that you're gracious, that you forgive our sins. When we confess our sins, then you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We know that it is a gift. It's an unspeakable gift. Lord, it's my prayer that the deceiver of this world, that his hands will be bound here in this church, that he will no longer be able to deceive us. Lord, that we will be able to see the light of the world, Jesus. And that we will be able to understand that amazing gift of salvation. Lord, we pray for maybe those that have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that today you will come down with your amazing grace and love through the Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to them, that they too can enter into that straight gate. You actually tell us, you invite us today, enter in. It's almost a command. Lord, I pray that we will all be able to meet in heaven someday, that we will see you face to face. Lord, I pray for us as pastors that we will recognize
by the Holy Spirit, that awesome call of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that there's hope in a dark world where there is no hope. The world has nothing to offer that gives us hope for eternity. Lord, we think of the world and the mess the world is in. We just pray, Lord, that you will be gracious to us. Keep us in your care. Uphold us with your right hand of righteousness. But Lord, we do not want to forget of all the believers around the world. When I think of Ukraine, the destruction that's going on, the people. Lord, I think of the young children, the mothers, the fathers, families being separated. Lord, there is nothing that catches you by surprise. But we know that that is the evil work of the devil. So we pray, Lord, that you will be gracious and do your work there. Hear our prayers, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray for each soul there, the church members, that they will continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We know that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray wherever your word is being preached that many will come to know Jesus as their Savior. We think of our congregation here. There's many that have had health issues. Lord, we pray that you will be gracious to us and that we will hear you speak through these different situations. You say all things work together for good to those that love God, and we trust you for it. We trust you. We trust you, Heavenly Father, that you're doing a work. We pray that you will continue. We need thee every hour. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say thank you for our song leaders and pianists. That's so beautiful that you come and help us and lead us in singing. That makes the worship service so meaningful. God ministers to us through song and through his word. And so we are grateful for each one that is here. I want to just say thank you all for coming. It has been good to see you here. And today I have good news. Just like the word of God, we are to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But we all know that we all like to have a good meal, so you're all invited to stay for lunch, for dinner. Guests, if you're here visiting, we would appreciate you staying. Getting to know you, regulars, elderly, whoever can stay, please, you are all welcome. I'd like to close with a benediction, and as we bow, I want to encourage us. When we think of the Word of God in our own strength, we can't make it. But let's listen to the benediction. Let's bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.